On a Friday, you're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer. Ken, thanks for being here. So the number of known cases of the coronavirus in our country has surged past 14,000 by Johns Hopkins estimates. And here in Wisconsin, the governor says two people have died, the first to be reported in the state. So the number of confirmed cases continues to grow to 155 in 21 counties. That's as of yesterday. There are important resources to help your loved ones navigate the pandemic. What answers are you seeking about COVID-19? Do you think there might be help in Wisconsin and you don't know where to turn? Bring your questions, your insights, 800-642-1234. Will Cushman is an associate editor at WisconText. That's a digital news and information service of WPR and PBS Wisconsin. And he's part of this team that's reporting on the pandemic, compiling an extensive information bank, especially for Wisconsinites. Will, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
So yesterday, Governor Evers confirmed that two people have died. What can you tell us about these cases?
Right. We don't know a whole lot so far. All we know from the press release is that there are two men, one in his 50s in Fond du Lac County and the other in his 90s in Ozaukee County.
And do we know anything further except for basically their ages and where they are?
No, according to that's all the information we've gotten so far from the press release. I'm not sure if we'll get more information. I know that they're getting away from providing more extensive details in general with these cases. So that might be most of the information that we get.
To protect privacy, how does the rest of the state look as far as COVID-19 cases? What are you seeing in the numbers?
We're really seeing them grow now pretty substantially over the last few days. There's been a greater number of new cases reported every day for the last several days. And that was, as we just heard a few minutes ago in the newscast, about 55 new confirmed cases by the state DHS yesterday. That didn't include a few other cases reported by counties. But we know now that we are definitely up over 150, somewhere around 155 or 158. And that's just confirmed cases. And we know that the cases are spreading throughout the state as well. The virus is now reported in at least 21 counties, and that's from Rock County in the south all the way up to Bayfield County.
You've been looking into how hospitals are maximizing capacity. What is it like inside hospitals right now?
Right. I've talked to several doctors around the state who are in the midst of preparing for a likely surge in patients, and they are doing everything they can to maximize their capacity right now. That includes canceling elective procedures. They want to open up as many hospital beds as they can because there's really a limited supply of hospital beds, especially right now, because in Wisconsin and throughout much of the nation, been dealing with a pretty heavy flu season, and bed capacity is already pretty high, or the bed occupancy is pretty high.
Due to flu, and so COVID-19 is certainly going to make that more of a complex situation. What other measures are being put into place by healthcare facilities, by clinics to address the pandemic?
There's all sorts of stuff. They're trying as hard as they can to procure personal protective equipment. That's been extremely challenging. There are issues with supply chains, and there's not a huge stockpile of that equipment available, even from the federal government. Hospitals are also creating protocols to keep COVID-19 patients as separate as they can from the rest of their patients. Hospitals, while they're dealing with this crisis, also have to care for all of the other patients who come in on a regular basis and want to do everything they can to keep them from contracting this disease while they're in the hospital. That's partly because we know that people with pre-existing medical conditions are at a greater risk of serious complications from COVID-19.
We're talking with Will Cushman, an associate editor at WisconText. That's a digital news and information service of WPR and PBS Wisconsin. Are you concerned more cases will be confirmed in the state? Is the state government doing enough to stop the spread or help stop the spread? Should the state offer drive-through testing services? Join in with your thoughts, your questions about where to get services, 800-642-1234. 1-800-324-4234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Will, it seems there's been a lot of discussion about this flattening the curve, that our community isolation will help keep this manageable level of cases for medical providers to respond to. Can you explain how that curve works and where it's at?
Sure. Yeah. So in the case of a highly contagious respiratory disease like COVID-19, if there's really nothing done to control its spread, either through social distancing or ramping up our personal hygiene efforts, the number of new cases in any given area where cases are on the rise will rise pretty swiftly, often exponentially. So that's like more cases, an ever-increasing number of cases like per day as the outbreak reaches a peak. And so the whole flattening the curve discussion really revolves around measures that we can take as citizens to slow the spread of the disease and thereby buy some time for our hospital systems to manage the flow, the surge of COVID-19 patients. So that includes things like social distancing and proper hygiene.
Do we have any indication where this curve is going, where we'll hit the max and it will start, descending, those numbers will start depleting?
Yeah, right now in Wisconsin, we're still early in the outbreak, and that curve is looking quite exponential. As we've had over the last several days, a higher number of newly confirmed cases than the previous day. So that curve right now in Wisconsin is looking quite exponential. I should add that part of that is probably just due to increased testing around the state. There's still a lot of issues with testing in the state, but there are more tests being conducted, and so there's more infections being confirmed. But it is still worrying, I think, to public health officials and doctors to see that curve so steep right now. So the hope is that in the coming days, with these social distancing efforts, with people staying at home as much as possible, that curve can flatten at least a little bit and hopefully stay below where our hospital capacity is.
Governor Evers had declared a public state of emergency this month due to the rising number. What have we seen out of the governor and his efforts to contain this?
Yeah, the public health emergency declaration preceded all sorts of stuff, like the closure of schools and schools going now to online instruction, the closure of universities, as well as these increasingly restrictive bans on public gatherings. We know that started at public gathering. Well, first, the recommendation was for a ban on public gatherings of 250 or more people. That went to 50 people, and now it's a ban on public gatherings or any gatherings of 10 or more people. So all of that is kind of directly related to this public health emergency declaration. The declaration also allows state agencies to kind of bypass typical purchasing requirements. So it allows DHS to basically try to procure as many supplies and medications as possible, as quickly as possible. But we know that is quite a challenge given the state of the supply chains and also the federal stockpiles.
We have Will Cushman with us. He's our partner at WisconText, a digital news and information service that's working across public media teams to bring us the latest news on COVID-19 and how Wisconsinites are affected. Have you been following the cases since the beginning? Are you surprised by how many cases have been reported in Wisconsin? Do you think the situation would turn into what it's become now? Share your thoughts, share your resources. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with Will Cushman in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the latest reporting from our partners at WisConText about COVID-19. We learned this week Wisconsin was running critically low on needed medical equipment to combat the spread of the virus. Lawmakers sent a letter to federal health officials requesting respirators and surgical masks and face shields, surgical gowns, coveralls, gloves, you name it. It is one of the stories our reporters have been following about the national stockpile, along with so many other developments. Have you stocked up on hand sanitizer or other protective gear such as medical masks? Are you a healthcare provider? Are you dealing with a shortage in supplies? What are you in need of? Be part of this. Share your questions. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Will Cushman, an associate editor at WisConText, and he stays with us to slow down the news cycle and help us understand what's been going on here in Wisconsin. Will, let's take a moment to look at the federal level. Members of President Trump's economic team will meet on Capitol Hill today to negotiate with Senate lawmakers, and they're really racing to draft this $1 trillion plus economic package. What do you see out of the federal response right now?
Right. I haven't been following the federal response as closely as the response in Wisconsin, but I do know that, as you said, Congress is swiftly working towards some sort of aid package aimed particularly at the nation's workers and businesses that have been affected by these shutdowns. My understanding is that the aid package is likely or possibly to include direct payments to American citizens. There's still discussions about what those payments might be, but I think the expectation is that they are going to be somewhere around $1,000 per resident, depending on income level, et cetera.
Bruce called from Broadhead, couldn't stay with us, and wants to know why there is so much hype about this when there's only a little over 100 people that had died from COVID-19 in the U.S. when more people were hospitalized and died from influenza just last year. What would you say there?
I would caution Bruce against considering this as hype. I think if we look at the situations in Europe, particularly in places like northern Italy and central Spain, we see that what just a few weeks ago was a few hundred cases and a couple dozen deaths is now really exploded into tens of thousands of cases of COVID-19. And in Italy, now more than 3,000 deaths. Their death caseload now exceeds China's. It's rapidly rising in Spain as well as in Iran and other countries. So I think the idea here is that if we can get out as much as we can ahead of this and practice social distancing as much as possible, we can flatten that curve and reduce the strain on hospitals and also hopefully save some lives.
Let's bring in a call now. Zach is joining us from Wapaka this morning. Hi, Zach. I understand you're a rural physician.
That's correct. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
So what we need most is for people to take this seriously and stay home. So this is not going to be over early. If we do a great job of containing this thing, it's going to be a long haul. So find a plan to make this the new normal. And get comfortable with this idea, because I think this is going to be a stretch for us.
Zach, what are you seeing in your own practice as a physician where you provide health care? What is it like right now?
I would say lots of folks have awareness, and so they're canceling appointments, and we are also proactively canceling non-essential appointments. But there's still a handful of folks who are showing up for appointments really not being serious about what's going on, or really not having an awareness of what their risk is. A lot of these folks that are coming in like this are typically, I'm going to generalize, baby boomers and older that just aren't paying attention to the news that has enough information for them to be prepared.
Zach, what are you telling these patients then? Are you telling them to reschedule or not even reschedule at this point?
Well, when patients are showing up at your door, our risk in our actual clinic is pretty low currently because we don't have a lot of activity in our community, but it's going to change, and it's going to change day to day, perhaps minute to minute. So For those folks, I'm having a conversation one-on-one, you know, very authentically, telling them, you know, what their risks are and what their plan should entail going forward. A lot of folks are travelers. Some older folks that are in my practice are split between their significant other being someplace else, either Arizona or Florida. And people are talking, they want plans to, you know, potentially fly or meet them around Easter. I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is going to be months. And for the people that are over 60, you know, we're going to surge, and their risk is going to be higher for everyone to contract this. But the risk of contracting coronavirus for someone over 60 is going to remain for as long as this disease is active in our communities. So for people over the age of 60, you know, really make plans to hunker down for the next probably 4 or 5 months.
Zach, how may your job change in the coming months as a rural physician?
As a rural physician, we have a wide array of skills. We deliver babies, we do inpatient, we do outpatient, we run a hospital. So, you know, my colleagues and myself are all planning to flex where we're needed. And where we're going to be needed is going to be where our highest skill set is needed, probably in the hospital. So as far as, you know, the routine, that's already, you know, non-existent as far as, you know, what was the normal routine of practice. We have multiple layers of surge plans so that we can flex and probably do shift work in the hospital as things progress.
Well, Zach, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that situation. We will certainly stay tuned. And we'll, you know, Zach is saying there that this could be months that we should be prepared for a long stretch.
Yeah, and believe me, I mean, I'm talking to you from home right now, wrapping up my first week of working from home and basically isolating myself in my home. I totally understand the mental challenge, the mental gravity of that prospect, and that can be a lot to think about and quite disorienting. But the alternative of a hospital system completely overwhelmed quite quickly by patients is, I think, scarier to think about.
And earlier this week, Governor Evers said school closures go on indefinitely, and there are mandatory closings of restaurants and bars. Do you anticipate here there will be more restrictions on life as we know it?
That is a really, really good question. And yeah, it's not clear yet in Wisconsin what more restrictions there might be coming in the next days and weeks. I know that there have been more restrictions imposed in some places, like in California. I believe overnight there is now a statewide shelter in place order.
Let's turn to face masks here for a moment. What do we know about the effectiveness of medical face masks?
So face masks, my understanding from talking to healthcare professionals and public health professionals is that they're really best for people who are sick and who are symptomatic and need to go to the doctor or something to try to stop the spread of whatever they have, whether it's COVID-19 or another respiratory illness. The face masks are also extremely important for healthcare workers, keep them safe while they're testing and treating patients. So we really are recommending, public health officials are recommending that healthy people do not wear masks in order to conserve the much, much, much needed masks for hospital and healthcare workers.
Well, let's take a little bit closer look at testing for COVID-19 in Wisconsin. How has testing evolved?
So testing has evolved from a situation where all tests were sent to the CDC in Atlanta, and that was quite a slow process. Testing has now expanded considerably in the state, but it's still the demand greatly exceeds supply of tests. So a lot of hospitals are sending tests to public health labs for testing. That includes the State Hygiene Lab in Madison and the Milwaukee Health Department's lab in Milwaukee. But then also some private providers have developed their own tests to speed up testing among their own patients. That includes the Mayo Clinic and I believe some health systems in the Milwaukee area. I've spoken to doctors all over, including a doctor at Bellin Hospital in Green Bay. And he said that their hospital is still sending tests to the state lab, but it's just taking too long to get results back, and that they're likely to move toward developing their own test. And he said that he expects most health systems to develop their own tests in the coming weeks.
Will, have you heard of any indication that any areas are moving toward drive-through testing?
Yeah, we know that there are drive-through testing clinics in the La Crosse area affiliated with the Mayo Clinic-affiliated healthcare sites there. And I believe that there are also drive-through testing locations in the Milwaukee area. I'm not sure what they're affiliated with. And I've heard reports in some other communities, but I'm not sure I can confirm them right now.
We're talking with Will Cushman, an associate editor at WisconTex. That's a digital news and information service of WPR and PBS Wisconsin. And he is part of a team that's reporting on the latest news on COVID-19. Will, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you.
Coming up, we talk with the superintendent from Chippewa Falls about how we can address the mental health needs of our students and how to keep them well during a time of crisis. Stay with us. There's more conversation after this news update on the Ideas Network.